We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Well, the guy that rules the Eagles is Jeffrey Lurie, and he will be speaking later today. We'll have Elliot Shure Parks on in about a half an hour to preview Lurie and sort of what could be asked of him. Also, this very odd dynamic of how this is not recorded with audio and video. I don't quite understand. I really don't. Some teams, it's on the record on video and audio, and some teams it's not. I mean, yesterday there's no audio of what Nick Sirianni said. Of what Howie Roseman said. It's just strange. Strange dynamic. We'll talk to Elliot about that and obviously look back to what Howie did say yesterday. And everything going on here. By the way, also what Dombrowski said about Rojas, some interesting audio yesterday. We'll get to that shortly. Let's get to the phones. Talk to Alex in New Jersey. Good morning, Alex.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Alex.
I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, John, I love the positivity and optimism and everything like that, but you opened up the show saying how you're super convinced, you know, that the Eagles are turning around solely by, you were convinced once they signed Barkley, and that all these other moves as well on top of it. And I agree with you. You know, it's better than things like the Cowboys are doing where they're signing nobody. But then you also said something where you give Kellen Moore pretty much a mulligan for his last season or two. And I don't understand how you can do that if you're not also, you know, you're not giving Sirianni a mulligan. So how do you justify giving Kellen Moore a mulligan and not looking at last season?
I think Kellen Moore can do a lot more with this group. Let's put it that way. I expect that Kellen Moore wasn't able to maximize his coaching acumen last season. Maybe I'm giving him too much benefit of the doubt. I believe that Kellen Moore with these players, my gosh, with this offensive line, with this back, with these receivers, it really is like an all-star team. He better be able to do some special things with the talent that he's got lined up.
I mean, I agree, but also, yes, the Chargers had a lot of injury concerns, but the Chargers had, you know, a young, prosperous quarterback in Herbert. They had Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Quentin Williams or Johnson or whatever his last name is. That was their rookie receiver. Eckler is supposed to be one of the top 10 backs in the entire league.
But, Alex, you know they had all sorts of problems.
Their center played 3 games because he had a heart issue or something. Their tight ends couldn't block.
I mean, they've got a new coach. They've got a new coach and staff because it went so badly.
So do we.
Well, I guess that's a way to put it.
There you go.
Alex, give me an answer here. Human, non-human relationship.
I'm going to say Sully and Mike and Boo from Monsters, Inc.
All right, my man. Alex, appreciate the phone call. Speaking of answers, let's hear what Dombrowski said yesterday. This was some interesting audio. Dave Dombrowski, obviously the Phillies made the decision over the weekend. They trade Jay Cave. So they're going to, you know, keep Pache, but most notably keep Rojas. He's going to be on the opening day roster. Dombrowski spoke perspective on keeping Rojas, and there's some interesting stuff in here. Listen to what Dombrowski said.
You know, we can talk all we want about Rojas. We can talk about Pache. If the top 7 guys in our lineup don't hit, that's going to make the difference. But and believe me, sometime this year we'll be in a place where we're struggling to score runs, which happens with every team, even the best of them. And somebody will make the point that says, Rojas isn't hitting, you should send him down. And Rojas won't be the issue. It will be the top 7 guys. And I'm not picking on our top 7. You can go with it every top 7, you know, type of guys. And we have a deeper, some might be top 5 or top 4. So it's just, that's just how the game works at times.
We'll see how people react to this. I mean, let me start with this question. John, do you agree with him? Let me put it this way. So I get what he's saying. Like, he's basically saying he's there to catch the ball, and if our top seven guys hit, doesn't matter if he hits 230. But there is a point where it does matter if he hits 210 or maybe 230. Like, James, let me ask you this. What is acceptable for an exceptional defensive player, and what is not acceptable?
I mean, it's all relative, right? But I think like 220 would be fine. If he hits 220, 230, I think that's totally fine for the defense he brings you, without a doubt. If he's, you know, gets his steals, does some stuff on the bases, like, it's not exciting. But yes, yeah. I think for his defense, a 220, 230 hitter is acceptable in today's baseball.
And if you're sitting 190 at some point, you send him down?
Yeah, it's too low. And again, it's all relative.
It made such an impression on me when Dave Dombrowski said sending him down isn't going to get him the at-bats that he needs to get better as an offensive player. It really does resound.
But it's not a catch-all. I mean, then have everybody just start at the big league level, right, which never happens.
I think this quote is more putting the pressure where it should be. I think he's trying to take the pressure off Rojas to start the season to say, hey, Johan, don't worry about it. Your bat is not important comparatively. Those guys, putting the pressure where it should be. It should be on Bryce Harper. It should be on Trey Turner. It should be on those. That's what I think Dombrowski was doing.
No, I think that's an interesting point. Let's talk to Dave right now. Dave, good morning.
Morning. How are y'all?
Doing great, Dave.
Going back to the 3-for-2, which was a thing, and the best thing about it was the way Dave Zinkoff announced it. But I think it was like over the limit. If you had 4 fouls in a quarter, everything after that was 3-for-2.
Wild.
It was ridiculous.
Huh. Can I call for that tomorrow? Dave, if I miss my first two shots, I want a third.
You can't. Everybody else came.
I like that.
Fair.
And Zink was great because he would roll his arms like 3-for-2.
Well, Zink was the best, man.
He was absolutely the best. Unbelievable,
Dave Zinkoff. All right, Dave, give me a big-time answer here, a human-non-human relationship.
All right. This is big, I guess. R2-D2.
And?
Han Solo and Luke Skywalker.
Oh, man. He went with Han first, and that is absolutely the wrong answer.
Wrong answer. Leia would be a better answer than Han, even, you know?
I just don't even know
R2.
How you confuse, like,
it's Luke is the answer.
R2's Luke.
Hold on.
They destroyed the Death Star together. What are we doing?
And Anakin is C-3PO. The guy butchered the whole thing. The whole thing.
There's one character who rides in Luke's X-Wing. Come on.
He's got Han Solo. I don't remember one. I've seen those movies a million times. I don't remember one interaction between Han Solo and R2-D2.
That's why I'm saying, like, Leia would have been a better answer, or even at least she's got the whole, you know, message thing and all that with R2.
I love how offended you all are.
No, I am offended. I mean, let me put it this way.
This is important stuff, Rhea.
At one point, R2 gets zapped when they come back, and all Han wants to do is hug Luke. He didn't even care that, you know, R2-D2's all banged up. All right, 215. These are the important things to get off our chest. 215-592-9494.
What is the scene that you're talking about? Like, this is the most obscure.
Yeah, there's a scene
I've ever heard of. This is Joe DeCamera's
way of
watching.
I think it's when they win in the end of the first movie, right? Doesn't he come back into the spot where all the pilots would return, and Han comes up and hugs him, and Leia hugs him? But R2
You're
got...
talking about the celebration scene at the end?
And R2...
I think the celebration scene counts for nothing. I think that's just...
But I'm just saying, Han...
I think that's just like scroll the credits, because the celebration scene is like the opposite of the scrolling words at the start of the Star Wars movies.
I kind of like that scene. They just won.
But you can come to depend upon it. It really is sort of chalk.
All right, 215-592-9494. Elliot from the owners' meetings. We'll talk to him next. Also, we will create our free throw brackets for tomorrow's bracket challenge with the WIP Full Court Frenzy. A lot more up ahead, including your phone calls. And have the Eagles convinced you with their offseason that they are back to being elite? Where you stand on that? Joe Cameron, John Ritchie, it's 94 WIP.
Here's what's happening at Borgata. Don't miss out on the action at Borgata's Poker Room, where great cards, lucky seats, and high hands bring excitement to every player. Open 7 days a week, excitement is waiting, and you are only miles away from your happy place. Experience award-winning restaurants, exciting bars and live music, big-name entertainment, and
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday morning as we assess what the Eagles have done this offseason and get ready for opening day, the Phils, in a mere 2 days. Also tomorrow, again, we'll be at Villanova for WIP's Full Court Frenzy. You can join us. You can participate in a big old game of knockout and a half-court shooting contest and root on the hammer or root against the hammer in a free-throw shooting contest. It'll have a lot of notables in it. A lot of people from the world of basketball and beyond. A lot of fun tomorrow as we raise what we hope will be a bunch of money in the fight against cancer through Coaches versus Cancer and the American Cancer Society. So come on out to Villanova. Spread the word to your family and friends. Get out. The doors will open at 6:30. So, yes, our show begins before that. Doors open at 6:30. Parking on site. Concessions. You can. I think it's like some light food, like pretzels and water and stuff like that. Maybe a little bit more than just pretzels. But you will be able to eat something. So come on out if you get the chance. Also, kids can be there. Bring the kids out. Got to be 18 to participate on the court in the shooting contest, but bring the kids if you're able. 215-592-9494. Elliot Shore Parks will join us shortly. Mark in Delaware right now. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, guys. As your fellow co-host, Hugh Douglas, would say, there's a lot of speculation going on with this Ohtani thing.
Yeah, well, that's all we really can do at this point, but that was a big denial by Ohtani. Whether it's true or not, who knows, but he certainly denied his own involvement in anything nefarious.
Yeah, at the start of the season with him and his fellow countryman, what's his name, Yokimoto, it seems like the Phillies might have did a good thing not signing those guys.
Why do you say that?
Oh, did you see his
First outing?
His
one outing.
Yeah, that's one outing, we'll say.
No, I know. He's a good pitcher. So let me go with my Eagles point. With the new rule change yesterday, the Eagles, I thought, you know, needed to sign more people on defense, and now, how's their backfield going to tackle anybody?
Well, listen, it's going to be an issue for all teams. So just to be clear, it's not like the Eagles are the only one in a hole with the new tackling rule.
Right.
We'll see what they can do. I mean, you know, you better learn proper form. Again, you know my theory, Mark. I just get frustrated as a football fan who grew up in the 80s when, you know, I thought games were entertaining at, you know, 17-13, 20-17, all that sort of stuff. I mean, Jim Johnson's rule back in the day to the guys was he wanted them, I don't know if it's a rule, but his standard. Jim Johnson's right. Thing to the defense was to hold the opposing offense to 17 points or below. He thought that was like the magic number. You're going to win a huge percentage of your games. I mean, I got to imagine, yeah. John, now coordinators, it's probably more like a 24 or something, you know, 22 or
they
something.
They always have those numbers. I mean, it's a science. And those numbers will be posted in most of the meeting rooms. You know, each positional meeting room will have individual numbers that they're trying for every outing. Yeah, it really is scientific, Joe.
It and just bothers me when it's here. all offense. That's my problem with it. It's just offense. I mean, what rule is ever going to be brought in that actually benefits, you know, the defense?
Never.
I mean, my God. Well, all right, Mark, give me a big-time answer here, my man. We got Elliot ready to go. Human, non-human relationship.
All right, I want to hear John's imitation after this. Shaggy and Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah. That's a big answer.
Scrappy. Shaggy.
That's all right.
Scrappy-Doo.
That's a big one.
Do the 18-year-olds know of Shaggy and Scooby-Doo?
They do, because they watch them all the time. Like, I know kids watch them on YouTube all the time.
All right. Well, that'll work then. All right, 215-592-9494. Elliot from the owners' meeting coming up here in 1 minute. Elliot, the latest on the Eagles in 1 minute.
How's that bracket? Why not live bet the tournament games instead? You could do it all on the Bet Park Sportsbook app. Bet while you watch the action. It's the best time of year. College hoops hysteria plus baseball and golf are back. Bet Parks is an official betting operator of the PGA Tour. And, of course, all those baseball future bets and so much more to bet on. Download the only sportsbook app that I ever recommend. It's the Bet Park Sportsbook and Casino app. And get in on all the tournament action. Plus, play all your favorite casino games, bet parlays, teasers, over-unders, and so much more. And again, make those future bets now on who wins it all. You can track it all season long. It's a blast. New users, make your first winning $10 sports bet. You get $125 in sportsbook bonus back. It is a great deal. The BetParks app is the only casino and sports betting app that I use myself and that I recommend. It's safe, secure, and easy to use. BetParks.com has all the terms and conditions. You must be 21 and in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Ohio, or Maryland. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, let's go down to, I believe it's Orlando, Florida, site of the NFL owners meeting. Elliot Short Park, certainly not an owner. If he was, he wouldn't be working for us on our shabby show here on WIP. Elliot, wouldn't it be nice to be a billionaire?
I will say the last few days I've got to feel like one. I'm at a hotel like never before. I was at a party last night. I certainly didn't belong at. So it's been a fun few days.
Yeah. Any elbow rubbing with any notables?
No, nothing I can say on the air, certainly. Yeah. You know, what happens at the owner's party stays at the owner's party.
All right, Elliot, let's get to some stuff here. And let's actually start with a concept similar to that. So I get frustrated annually when, and I think this is the only time it happens, when there's a gathering of this sort and the Eagles go on the record, but they say we don't want anyone to record what's being said, audio record or video record. Can you just walk us in? Because yesterday how we spoke, we have no audio of it.
Right.
Can you just walk us inside the whys of, like, what's up with this one event that they do this annually? And by the way, other teams do go on the record. Like, I saw a video of Andy Reid talking about Jason Kelce, so other people have no problem with the camera rolling. What's up with this one?
Yeah, so it's a little different, I would say. So Andy Reid is obligated to speak. Like, part of the event is the coaches have, they call it a breakfast. Although with Nick, there's like 15 reporters yelling at him, so it doesn't feel like breakfast. But like, he's obligated to speak, right? So Nick will talk at 7:45. There will be audio. There will be video. Jeffrey Lurie, obligated to speak. There will be audio. There will be video. Howie, I don't believe, is obligated to speak.
Gotcha.
So when he talked yesterday, I think they just wanted it to be more casual. I agree, you know, with the overall sentiment. Obviously, as someone that works at WIP, I would have loved you guys to hear it. I'll do the best I can to relay what he said.
Yeah.
But I believe that's, you know, the reason.
Okay,
that.
No, that makes sense.
But is it different the way that Nick is interacted with, the way that the Eagles organization is interacted with? You know, are there more media? You suggested something there that, you know, Nick, he gets up there and they're asking him everything every time he's you know, available and presented. Are there more media following Eagles people around at these meetings?
I mean, so the breakfast starts at 7:45. The Eagles' entire table was filled with beat reporters by 6:45. There was not a single other reporter in the room from another team. So,
you've got to be kidding. This is, wow. Okay.
So every year. Serious. I mean, it's a fact. Like, for everyone that says New York's the hardest media market, like, it's not even close. Like, you
right.
come to these league events. And I mean,
we should be proud of this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Good job, Elliot.
All right. I like this.
You're there an hour earlier.
Yeah, Howard Eskin was first. I'll give him credit, but I was second. So
well done. All right, Elliot, let's talk about yesterday, and then we'll get to today with Sirianni and Lurie. But you were there when Howie spoke. What was the biggest thing that stood out to you of what Howie said?
I guess I would say the lack of comment on Hassan Reddick. He really did not want to talk about it. And it's the biggest issue hanging over this team, right? I mean, you know, he's arguably the best player on defense. Has been probably their best player in defense over the last, you know, 2 years. And there's really no update on what's going to happen. Now, I came to Orlando with the feeling that Hassan Reddick has played his last snap in an Eagles uniform. I still feel strongly about that. I don't think he is going to be back next year. I guess one thing, you know, I've kind of gathered over these last few days is this might take a while. Like, I initially thought, okay, the draft, like, that's probably when it'll happen. And it could. But it wouldn't shock me if they just want to hold on to him. He's on the roster. They have cap space. They have no true incentive to, like, move him right away. And he's a valuable player that could, in theory, increase in value if the team doesn't get an edge rusher they want in the draft, or a team suffers, you know, an injury at OTAs. Maybe all of a sudden that third-round pick becomes a conditional second, right? So there's no deadline, and I still think he will be traded. It's a matter of when, not if. But it might take a little longer than I thought before I got to Orlando.
Hmm. How much is there to the Sirianni is missing from the head coach's picture again this year thing, Elliot?
So you're talking to the perfect person for this, because I care deeply about this. I think he should be up front. I think he should be in the photo. He is the head coach. He represents the Eagles. I think it's important. But ultimately, he wasn't in it last year. There was a bunch of coaches missing. I guess I understand it. I will say I think the NFL should do a better job of making sure everybody's in the photo. What's the point of doing an annual photo if it's like just who shows up for it?
Are there
repeat offenders, Elliot? Like, are the other people who weren't in the photo the same people as last year? You know, like, is Sirianni just like, it doesn't really matter that much.
Right. So I'll say, I thought I was prepared for this call. I did not cross-check who was in the photo last year compared to this year. But no, I don't know. I do know Nick was not in it 2 years in a row, though. So we'll see if he's in it next year. You know what I mean?
Have you noticed, I mean, speaking of Nick, have you noticed any difference in the way he's carrying himself? It was somewhat of a demotion. You know, he's no longer involved with the offense the way that he was. We don't know exactly what that looks like, but what have you noticed in the way that he interacts compared to last year at the owners' meetings?
Yeah, nothing different, I would say. You know, Nick is a family guy at these events. He's always with his family. His kids are around him. You know, he still seems in good spirits. We haven't had a chance to really sit down at length with him. Obviously, that's going to happen in a few minutes. But, yeah, I don't notice any difference with Nick, Howie. Like, you know, it's interesting. You come to these league meetings, you know, obviously leave Philadelphia, and understandably people are frustrated with the Eagles, the ending of the season. But you come to these league meetings and you realize that as bad as last year was, like, there's other teams that have major problems as well in terms of never making the playoffs and having, you know, nothing at quarterback. So while the Eagles have work to do for next year, and absolutely, like, they have holes to fill, these league meetings do always put a little bit into perspective. Like, it could be way worse with how things are.
Elliot Shore Parks here with us. NFL owners meetings. The head coach Sirianni will be speaking in a few minutes. Lurie later today. Elliot, if Lurie is it, because Lurie's the big one. We've heard from Nick a few times this offseason. Lurie's the big one. Let's go there. If Jeffrey Lurie is asked, hey Jeff, what happened in December and January with your football team? What do you expect he'll say?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'll be curious to see if Jeffrey wants to move on from last year, or if he feels like rehashing it.
Let me just say this before you continue. When it's his first time talking publicly since it happened, in my opinion, he doesn't get the moral high ground to set those terms. Like, if he goes there, I think there's going to be millions of Eagles fans annoyed. He can go there if he wants. It's his choice. But I know this. I'll be dissatisfied, not as a talk show host, as an Eagles fan. I need the owner to give me a little something here. I mean, he hasn't spoken in a year.
Yeah, I agree. And he used to speak way more.
Correct.
Too. He used to speak at training camp. He hasn't spoken over a year. I would be surprised if he got into, like, the intricate details of why they feel the collapse happened. That's just generally not what any team does when this happens. But I agree. Like, I think if you're only going to speak once a year, and I know it's been a few months since it happened, like, I think fans want to see Jeffrey upset about what happened and feel like he's working to make sure it's not going to happen again. So I'll be curious to see, you know, how he explains it. I'll be curious to see if he's willing to admit that he almost fired Nick, you know, or if he does say that was never a consideration and, you know, we always take time with these things. So I think that's a very valid question about Nick, the collapse. You know, how involved was he in the Matt Patricia thing? Because you talk about why the season collapsed. The answer might just be right there. Like, they switched coordinators, the defense collapsed, and everything just, you know, fell apart. So, yeah, there's a ton of really pressing questions for Lurie. And, he needs to have good answers to him.
What's going on with kickoffs, Elliot? Is it possible that this meeting we see the game look completely different as you leave?
Yeah, I think kickoffs are something that, I mean, this year, and then especially over the next year, you're going to see change a lot. Like, there's something, I know there's a new rule with the hip tackling. Like, Mm-hmm. You know, they say they're trying to make the game safer. I think they view kickoff as an opportunity to limit contact and limit just players, you know, running into each other. So, yeah, there's already been one change to it. And I would expect, you know, as we talk over the years from these league meetings, you're going to see more and more changes.
Do you get a feel, just being around the organization a little bit, the way that they're looking at this draft? Are there certain positions that the Eagles feel are particularly strong in this year's offering?
Yeah, so didn't get into length about the draft, but I will say, like, you know, talking overall, just being here these few days, I do think they don't believe they go into the draft with a major hole that they, like, have to address at number 22. I think there's a decent chance that when we're talking on draft night or the night or the morning after, we're talking about a player that, yes, like, will start, obviously, you know, eventually, but maybe he's someone that sits for a year. Maybe they go offensive tackle and, they, you know, it's Lane's replacement or something like that. So, yeah, in terms of the value of where they see the position, I think at 22, it's hard to say because you don't know who's going to be there. But I guess offensive line would be my early guess as to where they go.
Elliot, good work, buddy. We look forward to catching up with you more, perhaps later in the show if anything develops from there. If not, certainly tomorrow. We appreciate it, man. Thanks, Elliot.
Yeah, thanks, Elliot. Thanks,
you know, I'll make this case. I think Lurie's stock in Philly has gone up the less he's talked. I mean, their decision 10 or so years ago, and maybe it was his decision alone, maybe someone advised him, to back him off of speaking as frequently as he used to. I mean, James, would you agree that there might be it might not be coincidental?
Yeah, absolutely.
Although that's irritating.
Yeah, sure.
Because you want to know what the owner thinks.
Of course. But yeah, I think it's absolutely on purpose, and I think it was absolutely a smart decision. Like, absolutely.
What's his answer, James? If he's asked this question today, what's his answer? Jeffrey, did you consider firing Nick Sirianni after the season?
No.
Did he lie?
Yeah, he's going to say no.
Okay.
No matter what. I believe he did. I think there is a 0% chance he will say yes or even allude to the fact.
There's
and he
a
can. He kept
yeah.
him. There's yeah. no way. No way.
And he won't just say no.
He'll be verbose about it, but it will be no. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll say. All right.
Is that something? Wow. That is such – and it will be asked.
Well, it has
is
to
that
be
something?
Asked. It really should be the first question.
Yeah.
It really
and
should
I just,
be.
And I wonder if that's something that they go over.
Maybe beforehand. The second question. Maybe the first question is, hey, what happened in December? What happened? Come on. You had a 10-1 football team. Things fell apart. We haven't seen anything like this on your watch. I mean, yeah, they were 7-2 and finished 7-9 in 1994. But no one – and he had just taken over the team. But no one considered that team really elite, Super Bowl caliber elite. I mean, this is a team – that went toe-to-toe with Mahomes and Reed in the Super Bowl February of 2023 from the 22 season, was, I don't want to say rampaging through the league in 2023 because they were eking out some wins, but they were 10-1. Can't be much better than that. It can only be one game better than that. And then they utterly collapsed to the point where, I swear to God, I feel like if they played the worst team in football in the postseason, they might have lost. Like if you take
they lost the, Arizona. They have the fourth pick in the draft.
They
you
were
know,
down
there you go.
27-0 to the Giants. 27-0. And then they got their butts kicked by an entirely average Tampa Bay team in a postseason game. Destroyed. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. By the way, we will, this segment, create our bracket for WIP's free throw shooting contest happening tomorrow. John, I have in front of me here a piece of paper. See this paper?
I see that. It's
James?
A large
Rhea?
Bracket.
We got
oh,
okay.
Yeah, wow.
Large blank bracket.
It's
all
the
blank.
Kind of thing that could have been done very easily in an Excel spreadsheet, and yet
oh
you wrote it
God.
All out.
Did you
okay.
just hand do that?
I hand did it.
Look
that's
at
right.
You.
So we've got 20 names that'll be put in here.
Analog over here.
And we will do that coming up.
A nickname for Joe. Analog.
I'll take
right.
that.
I know.
Smart guy, right?
Analog.
It's like
no.
data. Data
no,
was smart.
It's like not digital.
Yeah, data was point. Smart. I'll take analog. Let's go with Eric.
Analog has a pretty negative connotation.
I don't even know what it is. It means you don't use technology, essentially.
I'll tell you. Guilty as charged. Eric in Cherry Hill. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hello.
Lots of good stuff, Eric. I think we just got a good nickname for Joe. Analog really is a good nickname for Joe,
it fits
guys.
Him so perfectly.
I have no problem with that. I mean, I'm happy with that one.
Analog the camera.
All right, go ahead, man.
Yeah, you know, the Eagles stuff, you know, five time. But Shohei, you know, I don't think that he, you know, that he actually bet on any games. But, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of ridiculous to think that he didn't know about, you know, his interpreter's involvement. You know, they just put up all these you know, he attenuated himself. So they put all these, like, you know, obstacles in between him and, you know, like the betting thing, you know, especially in California where it's not like DraftKings or.
Well, Eric, I will say this in look, who knows if Ohtani was in on it or not. I'll say this in his possible defense. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of notable people that have had money stolen them, you know, players through the years, and sometimes they have to keep playing because so much money got ripped off. You know, it does happen. Now, you don't normally think of it as, you know, the interpreter doing it, but this is also a unique situation. It's a guy from Japan who obviously had, you know, at least as of a couple of years ago, limited English in his repertoire. And so he's got an interpreter. He's in a foreign land, so to speak. He's got to be leaning on some people. This is a major person that he leaned on. I mean, right. To me, it's not inconceivable that the interpreter would have access to his accounts to be paying things that need to be paid. I mean, for all we know, this guy might be a lot more than just the interpreter.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. I just think, you know, I don't think that Ohtani himself was betting on games.
Well, I hope not. I mean, if he is,
he
particularly,
said he wasn't.
Yeah, he said it very clearly yesterday. Eric, give me an answer. Human, non-human relationship.
How about Beauty and the Beast?
Wow.
That's a big one.
That's a really good answer.
Really big one. Beauty and the Beast. I like that answer a lot. Let's talk to Drew. He's calling from Westchester. Hi, Drew.
Hey, good morning, folks. Before I make my Eagles point, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Rhea. I think everyone tomorrow is going to be hanging on her every word in the weather updates because I didn't know if the Phillies are playing Thursday or
it's
Friday.
Not looking good,
Drew. Big job tomorrow. That's the sense I got too. I'm honestly thinking Friday at this point, but I'm like monitoring stuff like a hawk.
Yeah, it'll be a bummer if it's not Thursday because, you know, in number one, it just comes sooner. I'm looking forward to that. Number two, we'd have a show on Friday to react to it, which I'm looking forward to. If it's Friday, it's Friday. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but I hope it's Thursday.
It happened last year?
A couple years ago. It wasn't last year, but it's happened within the last 3 years or whatever.
Which, by the way, is, I believe, why they built in that
100%. That's why they're off on Friday, is this exact reason.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess the plus of Friday is you can have the Devin uniform bit going during the show, right? So that's a silver lining of it. So with that, so with the Eagles, Joe, something you started – the show with that I just wanted to touch on. Obviously, I would love if they were, you know, super transparent or if we had like a hidden camera that told us everything. But in terms of what happened last year, I think they've kind of like told us a little bit without telling us. Like I'm starting to think that I don't think there was like a smoking gun of this guy got into a fight or this guy tried to like punch this guy. I think a lot, I don't want to make excuses, but I think a lot of the issues were the coordinators were overwhelmed, players lost trust in them. The 49ers game just kind of really spooked them. And I think sometimes you get into a rut and you can't get out of it. So I just don't know that it's as deep as we think it is.
Well, I hope you're true. Like, I hope you're right. I don't know if I buy that. I mean, candidly, I don't know. You know, I mean, we sit here late March and we still don't really know. So I hope it's as simple as what you described. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I mean, I'll tell you this, the way it collapsed, it felt to me like there was something else going on. I mean, what Larry Boa said it was last week when we were in spring training and we were talking to Boa about baseball and we threw one Eagles question at him because he's such a big Eagles fan. And he, you know, he said that his instincts, all the years he's been in a locker room and seen seasons go good and bad with all the different reasons, you know, his gut feeling is that something happened on a personal level in there. And I think a lot of us felt that. I mean, it was such an inexplicable collapse. Was it as simple as coordinators doing a bad job and players losing faith? Maybe.
I don't think so.
But I don't think so either.
In the moment, it felt to me like there was something happening, but I just think the longer we go without something coming out, plus you see, you know, a lot of prominent players have backed Sirianni as a leader, as a culture guy. I'm starting to think that it was, because sometimes you just get like a cascading snowball and you can't stop it. Look, I like what they've done this offseason. And I think, you know, we keep in mind, too, I think like 2017, they added LeGarrette Blount late. I think Patrick Robinson was late. Like Bradberry was a later signing in 2022. So I think they've attacked the problem so far and they can, you know, keep building a little bit with some of like the secondary moves here, too.
All right, Drew, you can win the Phillies tickets. Give me a great relationship from movies, TV shows, books, whatever it might be. A human and a non-human relationship.
Yeah, you got it. The show, Brooklyn 99, Captain Holt and his dog Cheddar.
All right, true. That's a good answer. You got it, buddy. Appreciate the phone call. Let's get to Frank right now, calling from Jersey. Hi, Frank. Frankie.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up,
What's
man?
Up, Frank?
Not much, man. How you guys doing? I got two quick points and then a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Shohei. All right, he made $65 million last year from New Balance alone. So if he did lose $4.5 million over the past couple of years, I mean, it's probably nothing to him to even really notice.
Could be.
But then, as a Phillies fan, I mean, I think we could all agree, if the guy got suspended a couple of games this year, we wouldn't be that mad.
You know what? I'd be disappointed. So, Frank, I had a buddy text me that last week, rooting for Shohei to have a big issue. I view him as such an important part of baseball. I'm not rooting for Shohei to go down. I hope that he had no involvement in anything bad. I want Shohei Ohtani to be a big part of baseball. I think it'll be bad for baseball, really bad, if, you know.
Crushing blow for baseball.
It would be bad.
If he's lying, if he was gambling and doing wrong, my gosh, he is so perfect in every way. What an upstanding example of what a baseball player can be in a perfect world. My gosh, the guy not only as a player is perfection, but as a human being,
I don't know if he's perfect. I don't know much about the guy on a personal.
What
but
we
he
know
seems
is
like
he's
a,
been incredibly
like a nice
stand
guy.
Up seems off like the it. Field as well as on the field. Really
well,
good guy.
He seems like a good guy. I don't know a ton, but he seems like a good guy. Frank, go ahead, man.
Yeah, no, and then the other point was. Honestly, I forgot, so I'm just going to give you my answer.
Go
now.
For it. Give me an answer.
Ash Ketchum and Pikachu.
Who do you say?
It's
Pikachu.
I don't know the. It's
It's pretty popular. Ash and Pikachu.
It's it's the.
Let me ask the question. Was that caller trying to win the tickets?
Well, he doesn't know us. That is, like for the 25 and under crowd, that's a winning answer.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Really?
Big time. Yeah, big time.
Pikachu.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And who's the other guy?
Ash.
I don't know.
Ash. Oh, yeah, Ash.
I've been to the movie.
Okay, yeah, Ash.
Do you know what those are?
Yeah.
What they represent?
Yeah.
What do they represent?
Something I get on my forehead on Ash Wednesday. An Ash.
Wow. Yeah. No, that is not. They're Pokemon.
Oh. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no clue on that stuff. All right, so, John, we're going to do this free throw bracket challenge in a few minutes. I just want you to know when we do it, we will pick 20 names out of a hat. And I'm gonna.
This is the scientific approach.
This is the scientific approach, and
I'm
gonna text you guys what the bracket looks like, so that everybody understands. There's nothing. I'll use the word nefarious again, for the second time today. Like wherever I get slotted in, I get slotted in. Do I want to be next to Mike Vreeswijk or Harold Jensen? No, in the first round. I'd like to advance.
Who is the?
But it'll be
most
whatever. It'll
fearful
be.
Opponent in your opinion. Do you have that idea in your mind going in?
Probably Vreeswijk or Jensen.
So you're afraid of.
Yeah, I mean, Jensen was 94% last
correct.
Year, and Vreeswijk was like 88 or something.
Correct,
like
something
that.
Like
so,
that.
Yeah.
Something like that. By the way, we got a one in, one out. So unfortunately, Lionel Simmons, who was going to do it, can't do it. Scheduling situation with the L train can't do it. But who's in is Pat Carroll from St. Joe's.
Nice.
Who was clearly the third best player on the tremendous St. Joe's team.
Oh, without a doubt. Yep. Yeah, and not just
great
that.
Great shooter.
A shooter. Yeah,
great
exactly.
Shooter.
He was.
Yeah, so hopefully L-Train next year. Pat Carroll this year, in addition of Vreeswijk and Jensen, Mark Zoller from Penn, Ashley Howard from Drexel. We got a lot of people, including those that don't have really any association with basketball. I mean, you know, Ruben Amaro. He's a baseball player, baseball general manager, WIP talk show host. N'Kobe Dean, he's an Eagles player, but we're going to have some fun. Scott Fransky, see how good or bad Scott Fransky can shoot. So we'll crank up the brackets here just in the next couple minutes. Reminder, you can join us tomorrow at Villain. If you can't get there, obviously listen here on WIP. We'll do a regular show. We'll also have some shooting stuff mixed in. But you can join us and be at Villanova tomorrow for WIP's Full Court Frenzy. Let's get to Justin right now. Justin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, friends. How are y'all?
We're doing great, Justin.
And next year, you guys got to try to get Denise Dillon, who's the head coach of the women's basketball team at Villanova, played for Villanova and coached at Drexel. So lots of Philly ties there.
I appreciate that. And I do know that some of the coaches will be there tomorrow, men and women. I don't know which, but I know there's going to be a lot of people out there just to be there as well. And, you know, we had said they could shoot, and we'll see how it all goes. But as of right now, we got 20 shooters for tomorrow.
Well, we'll see how you do there, Analog. We'll see if you can make
nice job, Justin. Good inclusion of Analog. It felt a little bit forced.
No, I support that.
But it was no. I think that's where we need to go initially. We need to force it. See if it works.
Yeah, it's got to be forced. It's like, you know, you can't make fetch happen. You had to force fetch, and then it happened. Eagles point. I think it was really interesting what Elliot was talking about in terms of like how we're gonna ask Jeff like what happened and everything. And it'll be curious to see what he says, because I think, you know, Drew referenced it a little bit earlier. Like, we do kind of know what happened, but we haven't heard from the owner of the team to see what he thinks happened. So hopefully he gives us something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe he strongly considered firing the coach. And I agree with James. He won't admit it. But he may also, with how he answers it, tells you his level of dissatisfaction. Like, do I expect, if that question is asked, did you consider firing Nick Sirianni? Honestly, I don't expect him to say yes or no. I expect him to say, we were disappointed with the way the season went. You know, at the end of the year, we had to evaluate our team. You know, we're excited for next year, but obviously with how things went, we got a lot to improve on. I think you'll get a non-answer answer.
Wasn't there a gap that was, wasn't it nine days?
A nine-day gap between
the end of the year and when anything happened with the Eagles.
Yeah.
So what happened, Jeffrey, during that nine-day gap?
You bought a boat.
When you weren't thinking about firing Nick Sirianni. Like, what else besides buying a boat happened? That's 9 days.
Right. No, I hear you. Justin, what do you got on the Phillies?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think with Rojas, if he's the opening day starter and center, I think, you know, it is important to recognize that there are eight other guys in a batting lineup, and you really need somebody who can play defense. I mean, how long did we complain about the Phillies defense, especially in the outfield when Schwarber was playing? So, you know, I think we got to be careful what we asked for, because we were all asking for better defense in the outfield, and now we're saying, well, we got better defense in the outfield, but not that guy, because he can't hit.
Yep. Well, so, look, I mean, it all depends on how low his hitting goes.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, if he's hitting 180 at the end of May, yeah, you got to make a change. But, you know, I think give the guy a chance a little bit and see what happens with some consistent at bats too.
All right, Justin, give me an answer from movies or shows, whatever it might be, human non-human relationship.
Yeah, my dog growing up was named after this character, so I'm going to go Shadow and Peter from Homeward Bound.
You got it, man. Justin, appreciate the phone call. You know, John, let's get back to where we were to start the show. For those tuning in, we were trying to assess at this point in the offseason, with free agency done, with the coaching stuff done. You know, they got rid of coaches, coordinators. They brought in new coordinators. They got rid of a bunch of players. They signed a bunch of players. We've heard from the brass a few different times now, meaning Sirianni and Howie yesterday. Sirianni later today. Now, the real brass, Jeffrey Lurie, we'll hear from him the first time since it all went down later on today. But we were assessing at the beginning of the show whether the Eagles have convinced you that they're back, that they are. And when I say back, I'm talking, you know, elite, Super Bowl contending type squad, a top, you know, 4-6 team in pro football, which they obviously were in 2022. Obviously, you were for the first 3 months of 2023. And, John, where you stand on this matter is what? Where?
Well, they have to show me that they're completely different than what we saw at the end. My gosh, the last month and a half, they got to regain our trust to some degree.
Yep.
And it's got to be dramatic, the difference. But look, they did enough in one move. When you bring Saquon Barkley into town, that is enough to boost the run game. I'm positive when you add him, you're going to hand the ball off too. So it's almost assurance that the offense is going to change course. Now we've got a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore, who's had success handing the ball off to Zeke Elliott in Dallas, and I expect it's going to look similar. We got a face melter of an every down back, and we haven't had that here in Philadelphia. It looked so different last year with DeAndre Swift running the football, didn't it? It just felt like,
well,
holy cow,
in the beginning,
we've got explosion. We can get the edge when we want it. And it felt good. It felt like we were in command. It's going to, like, remember that feeling and apply it to this season.
No Kelsey, man.
And then
no Kelsey.
I know.
Can't poo-poo that.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
But they do take care of the offensive line. I'm convinced whether it's Cam or Landon who's taken over at the center position, both those guys can do a nice job. They can move people
out
of
the way. Look, they do take care of the O-line, but I'll say this. Kelce also had a big hand in taking care of the O-line.
You can't underestimate how important he was in every way. It's not just the play itself. It's the calls.
It's the whole spirit thing.
It's everything else.
My answer to the question, have the Eagles done enough to convince me, is no, not at this time. Now maybe they're going to be really good, and I certainly acknowledge that true possibility. But there's three things to me that stood out that still linger, even though they've improved with Gardner Johnson. You know, hopefully they've improved with Hoff, although it scares the hell out of me. Reddick might not be on the team. All that's, you know, Devin White should be better. Three things really hit me that make me say no on whether I can say Super Bowl and elite.
The linebacking core, Devin White is better. The linebacking core that we had last year compared
but
to
how
Devin
much better?
White.
But he was also benched. Better? He was benched.
And he was signed for like $4 million guaranteed or whatever.
Unhappy.
It's not like he is like the prize of the free agent.
So
there's upside, yes,
we
but
had.
We can't say he's like a lock to be awesome.
I don't know, John. I got to see
so
it.
So much better than
he
what
got
we had.
Benched by
Think
his team.
I get it. Last season, Zach Cunningham out
Well,
there.
It was a disaster. I know. I get it.
N'Kobe Dean not being able to stay out there. I hope he's healthier this year, but I don't have a lot of faith in him.
Look, three things make me say no when the question is, am I convinced they're back to elite? One, they haven't convinced me at all that whatever the issue was that was personal is resolved. Now, again, I don't know that there was one, but I tend to think there was. I mean, that season fell apart in a way that it just felt to me like there was a locker room dynamic more deep than just Sean Desai and Matt Patricia. I don't buy it. I'm just telling you, I don't buy it. So, you know, hopefully whatever the issue was, if there was a big issue, hopefully they rooted it out and solved it or are solving it. But I'm certainly not convinced they have because we don't even know what the issue was. Second thing is Hurts still concerns me. I mean, obviously I was big on Hurts' bandwagon and now less so. And, you know, it's great to have Saquon, but you got to find him. You got to move through your reads and find the running back generally. I mean, that's normally the way it goes.
Or
with the
you
passing game.
Hand it off to him, and you do what you've done your whole life in terms of the RPO, the read, the ride and decide. He's got a great feel for that. That's where it all starts.
Well, I mean, is he going to be back to running more or not? We don't know that answer. I mean, we know he's most effective. Hurts is most effective.
Our offense is.
Yeah, but Jalen is most effective when the threat of him running is real.
So why wouldn't they create the threat of him running?
I don't know.
I expect to see the threat of him running. We are going to tailor this offense to making that the focus.
Well, James, let me ask you a question.
To think he's running,
James,
Joe.
Let me ask you a question. Because I hear what John's saying. I agree with what John just said there. Here's the question. In your opinion, James, do the Eagles view Jalen Hurts as we really need to get the absolute most out of him we can in 2024 and get his career back on track and prove that we want him for the next 10 years? Or do they enter the season saying we're going to be protective of him because he's our quarterback for the next 5 to 7 years?
Oh, I think it's more the former than the latter. Yeah. But again, I do think they're going to – I don't think they're going to throw him to the wolves, so to speak. I don't think they're just going to – you know, I do think that – I think they want to serve both masters. I think ideally they get him back on track this year and he's your guy for a long time. That's the goal. But can you do both?
Yeah. I mean, because I know he's most effective when he runs and has the threat of running. The other thing is Sirianni. I mean, a lot of us wanted him canned at the end of the year. Seems like a great guy, but did a horrible job down the stretch. Now Lurie's sticking by him. And there's something to be said for sticking by him. I mean, it's continuity. It's 3 years, 3 playoff appearances. That's very impressive. That's unusual. Only Eagles coach to ever do that in his first 3 seasons. But was it the right choice or the wrong choice by Lurie?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.